On the wall. I don't think we're recording yet. Are we not? Okay. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is placed on the wall near the entrance of the boardroom and is available for review of all people and attendants. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill?
Okay, we got a full board here today. We got the consent agenda items. We got the approval of the previous minutes of January 30th of 2017, the payroll claims, and there was one accounts payable claim today. And I went through them, and everything's in order. So I need a motion for the consent agenda items. Taking a motion by Tony. Second by Bill. Will you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we got new business. There's discussion regarding the support and funding of M Avenue paving project with the representatives from the Village of Hubbard, Papio River, the NRD, the Nebraska Parks and Game, or the Games of Parks, and Nebraska Department of Roads District 3. I think, do we have representatives from everywhere here today? I think we got Jason from the Village and the Papio people, correct? Yep. Yep. And then
Games and Park.
The Games and Park? Yes. Yep. Perfect. And then Nebraska Department of Roads, obviously, I don't see what's his name here, so that's fine. Okay. What's his name? Help
Kevin,
me out.
Kevin Domodala.
Yeah. So anyways, first of all, I know we have, listen, we can start this off and we can all talk individually, that's fine. I know we have a lot of people, residents out in that area that would like to see that paved, obviously, and I think we'd all love to see it paved. You know, M Avenue, it's a huge maintenance issue for the county with the blades, and to have it hard surface out to the Danish shops would be phenomenal. It'd be awesome. But we figured we'd kick this off and get the conversation started with everyone to see where each entity stands, you know, financially, and if people are that are actually on board of wanting to try to get together and make it happen out there. Now, I need to be refreshed, and somebody knows in this room how far it is. I know the Village of Hubbard has so far, and then to the bridge, I do believe, and then to the bridge to, is it 202nd? 203rd. And I've drove it, Fred and I have drove it several times, and I keep forgetting how far the distance is. Does anybody, can you refresh our memory, Fred, of how far it is?
1.2 is what the county is involved.
A 1.2 to 203rd?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's from my house, right, Fred?
Correct.
Yes, okay.
I think so.
Can I ask, are you planning on, is Hubbard planning on paving their portion from 35 to your city limit?
Yeah, why don't you come up and state your name and everything for the record here, then we'll just kind of go through and we'll get Schumacher up here and we'll get everybody up here so we can kind of get everybody on record.
I'm Jason Martinek. I'm with the Village of Hubbard. I'm on the board there. So it's on our 1 and 6 to pave North and South Main Streets. And then in my dream pie in the sky, we're going to go west from there and pave the whole village. Joan, I don't know if that'll ever happen. That's my goal. But right now on our 1 and 6, north and south, are on the agenda. And the most recent thing we've been talking about is going towards me first, and then we could have that paved, and then which would be the end of my property, and then you guys would go from there to the bridge, and then if that's something that you're going to do. But it's on our 1 and 6. We hired Kevin Connett from Allen to try to help us.
Yeah.
He's done a great job trying to figure everything out for us because we haven't paved in Hubbard probably since the 60s. Does that sound right? Probably when they paved 35, and I think there was grant money. So we're all kind of learning. It's been quite the process, but I want to say we're getting closer to getting it done. Unfortunately, half of it is county, so we've got some people that are kind of against it that they don't live there. So that's been a little bit of a struggle, trying to figure out how we're going to finance it, how we're going to do it, things like that.
That people that it's not going to benefit in any form or shape or way that are farmers, that farmland, and if you're going to put a paving project, is that correct?
Yeah, I just don't think they see that it's going to make their land that much more valuable to where it will for probably somebody that lives there.
Right.
That has a house on the paving. So That's been a look, we've been trying to work that out. We're trying to do some different things with a couple different. We're just trying to figure that out. I think we're getting closer, but that is on our 1 and 6 to try to get those done.
And being favorable of happening in the next couple years, what's your gut tell you?
Hey, I guess
50-50?
I'd say my gut is probably 50-50.
Okay.
In my opinion, I'm ready now. Let's right. do it now. We have no long-term debt. We've got money in the bank. We've got a levy that's criminally low. So we have ways we can get this done.
Right. So can I ask, what's Kevin doing? Is he going there trying to find some grant money?
Yeah, Kevin, so we originally hired, I can't remember who did our survey, and then Kevin comes in and he tried to help us, like he'll help us with getting financing together, finding these low interest loans,
okay,
crossing the T's, dotting the I's. That's his main focus, I believe. He did a lot of good work in Waterbury, I think. Unfortunately, our income survey came a little bit too high. Above that 40,000 something threshold, so we're not qualifying for grants. But like I said, I think financially we are in a good spot to be able to pay north and south and then keep going west. We just got to get it done.
Good.
And get two other people to vote on it with me, and then we can
okay.
go from there and start getting the districts done. But north and south Main are going to be a little bit more work, I think, because a lot of the ground is owned by people that don't live in the village.
Yep.
So there's a little more pushback on that. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming and telling us.
If it was up to me, the concrete trucks would be going there
right.
now. You know, it'd been.
Well, just one thing you got to remember: talk to Dakota City. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost.
And that's yeah. And we've talked about that. And 20 years from now, we're not going to say, "Boy, I wish we'd never paved these streets."
No, that'll never happen. Never.
I don't think
that.
So,
right.
So I guess that's where we're at. It's on our 1 and 6. I feel we're in a good spot. Scott Bieber is our CPA. He feels we're in a good spot to do it. We just got to get everybody in line. Like I said, it's something we haven't done forever, so it's just taking time.
Okay.
So that's where we're at.
Okay.
It
sounds good, Jason. Thank you for briefing us on your guys' end.
Thank you.
Okay, the Papio. Come on down. This guy here has a ton of money. He's ready to go.
Terry Schumacher. I'm the Land and Water Programs Coordinator with the Papio Missouri River Natural Resource District. I think... our position is we would certainly like to see the road hard surface. I think it would potentially increase use out of the camping area and recreation area. I think we're at a point, obviously, where we would probably entertain, you know, some conversations about some sort of agreement. We may be able to provide some assistance. But it's ultimately up to our board. But, you know, if we could get all the partners on board, I think, you know, when you have a multi kind of agency project, that's kind of what we like to be involved in. And I assume right now, I don't know if anybody has any idea of any cost or where that's at or if this is just kind of kicking things off today.
Yeah, we're just kind of kicking it off. Obviously, with the terrain and the hills and you know, the monies that it would take, we'd definitely have to get with some type of engineer or contractor and kind of give us a ballpark of what it's going to take. But like I said, I think the main thing is just getting this conversation on the table so we can start moving forward if that's what we're going to do.
Does Jason have a dollar amount?
Jason, have you guys talked about a dollar amount?
Keith Gilmore has given us very, very rough figures. Sorry, I should have.
But your figures are just on the flats.
Just north and south Main.
Right.
So and that was gonna be we were gonna do 9 inches thick for north and south just because of all the semi traffic going on.
Can I guess how much?
Yeah, you can. I'm gonna try to get to my email too. See if I can find it.
What kind of a distance is that they're talking about?
South is further than north, so I think south we were gonna look at 300
feet?
No, 300 and I thought it was 375 from the highway to my property.
Would it be a quarter mile or less, probably, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Sorry. I should have had all this information.
I was going to say 600,000 for both north and south.
It was roughly a little under six, I think, for north and south, but south was more expensive. I thought we were looking a little, like 550 or something, but I'll see if I can find it. sorry.
And when you guys go out of the north, how far do you go to the curve?
It'll be to, do you know where Gary Jensen lives?
Yeah.
So Gary Jensen is still in town. And then opposite that is Phyllis Cleaves Field, that's county. But so Karen Heaney would be the last on the east side. Gary Jensen is just right across the block there. That's where the north ends.
So back to your question, no, we have not entertained any engineers or contractors figuring a dollar amount, which won't be hard to do. I mean, but like I said, we just want to get all these entities together and see who's on board and who, you know, who's favorable for it. Your board, has they even talked about it?
No, I don't.
Terry, at all?
I don't believe there's any. Been even kind of sidebar conversations about it. We can, you know, unless Dakota County and Hubbard are going to drive the bus.
Right.
You know, we're not, it's not something we're going to spearhead ourselves.
The only way that I think that anybody's going to be driving anything is everybody's going to have to be on the same bus, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about the only way it's going to happen. Just because of the expenses, and I don't know what your guys' finances are like. Obviously, you know, Hubbard's there in a kind of in a situation where they haven't spent no money for 50 years, and they have a little pot of gold going on, so they got some things going on where the county is not so fortunate, you know. Not that we don't have the borrowing power to be able to do that, but we still got to pay it back, you know. So, we just need to get everybody on board. So we're just kind of testing the water today and just getting it on the table today was our whole objective.
Okay. Well, I think the message from the Papio interview is that we're willing to talk to people. It's probably going to take a series of meetings.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great facility.
Thank you.
It is.
We think so, and we're pretty proud of it. So we want to do anything we can to help highlight it. And that's kind of where we're at, just open dialogue.
The Powder Creek over in Martinsburg, right?
Newcastle
area?
Newcastle.
Are you familiar with that one?
I'm familiar with that site.
I was just kind of wondering how that site did, because that's a lot of gravel road to get to that one.
That would be a better question for the game of parks.
Yeah.
That's actually outside...
Right. Okay. Okay.
All right. Not a lot of history.
Yeah. Is that the Lewis and Clark?
So the last figures, these are very rough from Keith Gilmore and from Kevin Connett. For the south, after we do the 9 inches of paving, engineering costs, drainage costs for that south, we've got that dip there. Got to figure that out. That was going to be roughly $423,000.
Does it say how many feet that is?
It's 1,275. So.
By quarter mile.
Okay. And then north, we're looking at roughly, that's 770 feet. And that's, he was thinking 247,000. So we're actually looking probably after you do engineering costs and all that other good stuff.
800,000?
671.
Did they give you a width on that?
That is 32.
Oh, that's wide.
32 foot wide.
Wow.
And that is 9 inch. I don't know if that's what you guys would do, but that's what we're thinking, because as they're coming both ways and they're hitting the brakes, it's kind of, they might not get beat up as much for you guys, because they might not be hitting the brakes as much as they're coming down to the highway. So, but that's what we have.
Okay.
And like I said, that's very rough. It could be a little less than that. I think he's trying to guess high, so until we... create the district, and until we start doing the engineering, we just don't know for certain.
One thing we have going for us right here, we have three or four local contractors that do that type of work. It would probably be pretty competitive, I would guess. So.
Yeah. I don't know who Gilmore would want us to... I would assume Gilmore would take bids from whoever, as long as they meet the specs and the standards. So.
Okay. How wide would you envision the county?
Well, that's what I was...
Fred, what would you...
Bluff Road is not wide enough.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
What is it? Minimum of
20 feet. 20. What's North Bluff?
North Bluff is 20.
That's not wide enough.
So
Jason, they're looking at 32?
24, 26.
Yeah, I would say.
You guys are looking at 32-foot wide?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, Jerry, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That includes the curb.
Yeah.
Just to help with, I think,
right.
Water and...
Right. Okay. Nebraska Parks and Game, you guys want to step up?
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm Jeff Fields. I'm the superintendent of Ponca State Park. I also oversee Danish Alps State Rec Area. Just a quick little history on why we're involved in our relationship with Papio Missouri NRD. We're in a cooperative agreement with the Papio Missouri NRD to manage that as a state recreation area. We entered that into that agreement right after, you know, the completion of that project. So they essentially are the landholder. We're the active manager in the area, since we kind of do that for a living anyway. So great relationship with the NRD, and then we've had a very good cooperative type of atmosphere so far out there. I think that will continue in the future. I anticipate with the fishery that we have out there and the use for that area to increase over time. We're kind of at the dawn of that place really taking off from a fishery standpoint. If you've ever been down to Wanahoo State Recreation Area, that was built about 2 or 3 years ahead of ours, ahead of Danish Alps. And they're right now kind of pretty much exploding with visitation due to the high quality fishery that they have. And that, I'm very confident we'll have that out here at Danish. So
I drove through there about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, and there had to be 40 vehicles in the parking lot, and everybody ice fishing out in the wooded areas. And that, yeah, there were a lot of people out there, even, you know, ice fishing. A lot of people.
Very similarly. So.
Yeah.
We have got a few complaints from people on the road, but it hasn't been tremendous. I think a lot of that's because of the, you know, it's a fairly new area. As that visitation increases, I do think that will become more and more of an issue. From our involvement as far as paving roads, we have a recreational road program that we pave all of our Neiman Parks areas with. Just went through that not too long ago at Ponca. It's a 5-year plan, so right now what they do is they basically will project 5 years. We're unfortunately in year one of that plan right now, so we have everything laid out for the next 5 years, what projects we have going on as far as paving across the state. Probably in a couple years we'll start looking at the next five beyond 2022 is when we could potentially be looking at if we wanted to help some funding. If, you know, we'd have to maybe get creative on where, you know, paving starts and stops and, you know, all that kind of stuff. For us to pave a road, it has to be our road. So that's the other part of that. So.
Okay.
Any questions for me at all?
So basically, you guys are out.
Well, in a sense, I think it'll be down the road. I would envision, you know, us potentially paving the actual inside of the park with
right.
potential. So.
So actually the road on 203rd, let's say for instance off of M Avenue to the entrance, I don't even know the distance on that. But once you get into the park, it's not hard surface until you get, I've been out there a few times, I don't recall.
Yeah, basically coming off 203rd heading north, that's where our boundary is going to be. Well, it's actually to the south, but our roads are going to be to the south, to the north. So that's where I think some discussion could occur. It's something I'd have to run up through our administration. But, you know, we have some stuff along that 203rd Street where we could potentially maybe partner on that end of things. So, which could potentially shorten the distance a little bit.
Right. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Anyone?
Clayton Stallings, is he retired yet?
He is retired.
He did? He
lives in Vermilion. Yeah,
been there 100 years.
Yeah.
Great
good,
guy.
Good man, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yep.
You bet. Yeah, appreciate
thank
it.
Thank
you.
Thanks
you.
Very much.
Yep, thank you. Anybody else want to have anything to say on this real quick while we're on this topic here? Okay. Any discussion from the board here?
Well, I think we need to continue on here. You know, we all know it's going to take a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to get the Department of Roads here, for sure, someday.
and maybe we can meet them, for two or three of us, meet him sometime.
Yep.
Discuss their possible funding.
He suggested that. And he couldn't make it, but he would be willing to meet with.
Yeah, once we get everybody on board and everybody together and figure out where everybody's at, like, it's like we all know, this ain't going to happen overnight. What? Go ahead.
We want to know about our paving agenda on Fiddler Creek Road that was supposed to take precedence over this.
Yeah, once we get to public comment, we'll talk about that, okay? You'll be able to stand up. Or the one in six coming up here, we can talk about that as well. Okay. I appreciate everybody coming and talking and telling us where they're at. And like I said, to be continued, we'll be talking again with everyone, okay? Appreciate it. Let's move on to B here. Amy Kleinberg and Ron Rapp, Three Rivers Benefit, Inc., to present the board the county health care plan results in the past year and request approval for the stop-loss contract renewal. I hope you guys got some good news for us. Is it always good news? Really? What do you say? It all depends how you spin it.
Spin it.
Spin it.
Spin it.
Spin it.
Or spend it, one or the other.
Good news, bad news.
Thank you. We're all happy.
Well, you know.
The alternative isn't it? Alternative isn't good. That's why it's my favorite. Thank you. Somebody else, I've got a couple extras. Do you want one?
Kim will take one.
I've got those.
All right. I'm going to turn this over to Amy. We our office does the service work for the employees and stuff, and we're the broker on the county's case. Amy does all the under work and all the crunches, all the numbers. So, I know there's some questions about other things. We'll be glad to.
So basically, they do all the work. You just collect a check.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right on. Smart man.
That's how it works. Yeah,
smart man.
Yeah. Guy Club Brothers.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Remember who said that was not me.
Yeah.
As Robert said, my name is Amy Kleinberg. I'm with Three Rivers. So we'll get to it. We're not going to go through all these papers, but if you guys get bored at home at night and you need something exciting to read through, you can look through them. But we'll kind of quickly go through them, okay? So if we look through this first page, this is just pretty much a synopsis of your year. It basically gives you your fixed costs every month. It gives you the number of claims that you've paid. This is all medical on this first page. Gives you a total cost. Shows you that in relationship to that umbrella coverage that you have, your aggregate. And then we pull out ineligible claims, which in this case, that bottom line of that top grid, mostly dental. Well, you also have an aggregating specific, which is another amount you meet on top of the specific, and there is a little bit of that in there as well. Okay, November of 16, that 15,000, 12,000 of that is aggregating specific, and the rest is dental. So basically, your fixed cost, 175,669, paid claims, 538,87. We pull out 53,757, gives you a total cost. Breaks it down to employee cost, family cost. Employee 604.18, family 1437.95. You guys are running at 79% of your aggregate with 1 month to go in your contract, so should be fine. Okay. The page behind that is just the backup for that, so it's all the same stuff. It's just not as pretty. Okay. If we flip to the next page, claims by type. We're basically breaking this down, medical, prescriptions, and dental. So the blue and the green pieces of the pie, those always should be the biggest pieces of the pie. There's nothing unusual about the size of the pieces of pie. Okay, the medical is always going to be the biggest. Prescriptions always going to be the second biggest pie. Okay. If we flip to the next page, it is by relationship. Again, nothing really surprising. As a group health plan, we want our employees to be the biggest piece of the pie, okay? Spouses and children should be the smaller pieces of the pie. And the relationship between them is a pretty healthy mix. spouses are a little bit higher this year than last year, but nothing to be alarmed about at all. Okay. If we flip to the next page, again, there's no surprises on this page. You're older. Once your population starts to get a little older, they start to cost you a little bit more money. That's certainly the case here. You know, some of 40 to 49 is a high dollar group, and 60 to 69 is a high dollar group. Nothing you can do about it. That's just, you know, but it's not unusual at all to see it. Okay? Any questions so far?
We got a lot of young people here.
Well, and if you look at the 0 to 9, that is a little bit misleading because we put the entity that covers your prescriptions in, and they are 0 to 9. So 110,000 of that top line, those are prescriptions for the whole group. Okay, so that top number is a little bit misleading because it includes the prescriptions for everybody. Okay? If we go into the cost distribution, the plan paid $488,000. $228,000 was taken off for discounts by using the PPO. Employees, part of all these claims was $65,000. $23,000 was excluded, either not covered, reduced for different reasons, and then there was some a break for some people that had other insurance. We pull out what they paid. Okay. Next page is just pretty much what we've been showing you before. It's just a different graph. There's really nothing to look at there. Rank order analysis.
Costs are going up. As soon as I leave here, I'm going to the doctor. Costs are going up.
We still gone yesterday.
Yeah. That would be better.
We'll hear one next week.
Of course.
Your top payees, these are usually always the top five. It just depends on which order they go. Prescriptions usually is number one. Your two hospitals, 2 and 3, family health care, which is a whole conglomerate of family practice doctors, and the Siouan Surgery Center. Nothing at all unusual there. It's what we expect to see every year. Okay. Next page just gives the top diagnosis codes that we process claims on this year. Again, prescriptions usually very close to the top one, two, usually in the top three. The next page then is procedures. So you expect to see, again, your prescriptions at the top, office visits, labs, x-rays, depending on how many surgeries for the year. So those are your top diagnosis and procedure codes for this year that we're in right now. If we turn to the next page, keeping in mind that the county has a limited preventive care benefits, $25 copay, it'll pay up to $300. For certain things, okay? You really don't have a lot of people doing anything preventively, okay? That's basically what this chart is saying. Like, if we look at breast screenings, you have 50 members that should be having them done, and of those 50, 11 did it, okay? Cervical cancer screening, 87, 12 people did it, and it pretty much continues that way all the way down the deal. With the limited benefit, I mean, $300, you go through that pretty quick when you're doing even preventive care. So that could be part of the reason why people aren't utilizing, and some of them just aren't that fabulous to go do. So that's why people don't do them too. But it's something we could address, and if we talk about changing the plan where you go non-grandfathered, the amount of preventive care you have to cover is much different, and there's no cost sharing. So that could drive the use of people using preventive services as well. Okay, we all know if we catch it early, sometimes it's going to cost us a lot less money. So the next page is just preventable conditions. There's really not a whole lot on here. There's some heart stuff, which, you know, and some diabetes, but nothing unusual there. The last page is just pretty much a summary of everything that we've gone through. It tells you average age, number of claims, total plan payment, all that kind of stuff. So just kind of is a synopsis of all the other pages that we did. You should have a pink page, and then we'll flip back. This is your dental. $45,910 in dental costs. Your average employee and family cost actually went down a little bit from last year. So that's good. It's good news. Okay. And then there's just a card that, a chart that shows the monthly cost. Again, it's the same information as the page before, just a little prettier. This is the money page. So that first column on the left is what all of your rates currently are for the current plan year. The column right next to that, to the right of it, that is the renewal if we leave everything the same, $35,000 specific with a $30,000 aggregating specific. Contracts stay the same. There's a small increase in the life insurance. Admin fees, there's a little increase there. Dental fees, PPACA, broker, all of those. Midland's Choice is raising their access fee, not until July 1st. So it'll stay at the $465 until July 1, and then it'll jump to the $5. Okay. So if we look at total administration, it's going up about $4,700. Not terrible. Stop loss rates for the single, it's going from $99.84 to $107.01. And family, $252.21 to $255.30. The aggregate premium has a small jump. So if we look at your total stop loss, it's going from $105 to $112 and $257 to $260. Okay. Fixed costs, you can see down there below, $142 to $154, $303 to $310. This is a pretty good renewal. Then if we look at your ag factors, which those are the factors they assign to fund claims, if you were going to budget to fund your claims at 100%, those factors actually went down. So you were at 472 and it's going to almost 459 and 1240 and it's going down to 1204. Okay, so that is good news. So if we look at the expected, the blue numbers at the bottom, you are going from 529 to 513, and the big difference in those two is the funding factors. Okay. The other ones to the right, we can go through them if you want to. They are either other carriers, which some of them haven't completed all the medical review. There could be some curveballs that get thrown in there if that's the route you want to take. The third column over is just looking at raising your specific deductible by $10,000. It's a pretty good renewal. I probably wouldn't recommend taking on that $10,000 of risk. That's per member. It's not saving. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Questions on the renewal numbers? Okay. So the last section that I put in there. These are your deductible and out-of-pocket limits for your plan. So Dakota County has $250 deductible, $500, $1,250, and $2,500. If we look at all these numbers below, these are other entities that we do the insurance for that are either governmental entities or they are a similar size and makeup of Dakota County. So you can see where your deductible falls in with all of these other groups. It's the second lowest one.
Yep. 2, 4, 12, or 24. Okay, so what do we know about numbers if we do decide to raise? And can we raise later on in the middle, or do we got to do it at renewal time?
You don't have to do it at renewal. I mean, usually there's two good times to raise the deductible. First time is January 1st, which already that
the year.
Horse has left the barn, right?
Calendar.
Because the deductibles and out-of-pockets run calendar year, so it's a good time to do it. Renewal is another good time to do it because it just keeps everything nice and neat because it's there. You can do it whenever you want to because you're self-funded. We can do it July 1st. We can do it whenever you want to. We just write an amendment to the plan. It's really not going to affect your fixed costs at all. It will affect your ag funder, your ag factors a little bit, where it's going to save you money in claims because whatever we raise the deductible by is going to shift the cost to the members.
Right.
So, I mean, you can raise it to anything you want to. I don't think you probably want to go crazy. But the last two pages of this show if we raise it to $350... to $350 from $250.
The last three pages?
The last two.
Another pie chart?
Yeah. Yep. So the first pie chart shows changing the deductible to $500. And basically, if we just look at the plan payments, where you're at now, you're at 488, 492. Raising it to 500 would put you at 434.4. So you're, you know, that's about $54,000.
That's a bunch of money.
Bunch of money.
We've talked about, you know, our deductible, of course, the last 2 or 3 years. And our bargaining units are, all three unions are up this year for negotiation. And that's one thing I think in June that will take place. That's why I think Scott was wondering about if we could change it later.
Yeah.
We need to cross that bridge probably first.
And some groups, especially when there is collective bargaining, they step it up. I mean, how long do you guys negotiate for? Like 3 years?
2 to 3.
2 to 3, yeah.
Yeah.
We've done some 1 year.
We've
done it different ways.
And we've had other groups that we knew at the renewal that their deductible is going to go from 250 to 350 to 450 to 600.
And I have a feeling the way the county's finances are, we'll probably be doing an annual one for a few years until we know where we're going to be at. It's probably a fair statement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why, like I said, 1 year is 350, 450, you know,
right.
Kind of step it up as you renegotiate. Right. It gives you some leeway to start moving that up rather than taking a goal from 250 to 750.
Is that taking 250 to 500 and then that taking the family from 750 to 1500? It's basically just doubling each one. That's $53,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the next page shows the 350, which is still a pretty decent savings, 488 to 443. So, you know, that's 40 some odd thousand. So a little bump, you know. That, obviously, I don't have a crystal ball. That is based on this year's claims. If these deductibles were these amounts this year, that would be the savings to the plan. If you decide to do it the first year, people are going to get something in return because now you're not going to be grandfathered anymore. So those preventive services, 100%, no cost sharing, no $300 limit, their co-pays will apply toward their out-of-pocket max. So there's an exchange there that the members are getting something to offset the increase in their deductible.
Right. Well, 250 is unheard of.
Oh, yeah.
It's really low.
Yeah.
It's way low.
And like I said, in your negotiations, you do have some give and take. With that,
the piece of the pie for the co-insurance is what?
This here.
Yep.
I raised the co-insurance by the amount of the deductible, so it's still an 80-20 plan. It's just the out-of-pocket to the member is basically going to go up by the amount of the deductible.
Okay.
It can do whatever we want it to. We can set the co-insurance at whatever we want to.
Mm-hmm.
We can change the percentages. We can change the dollar amount. Today, at $5,250 worth of eligible charges, your members are at 100% for the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's one outpatient surgery.
Yeah.
And everything they have for the rest of the year is covered. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I like it that we can change it at any point in time. So coming this summer, matter of fact, probably the next few months, we're going to start, you know, with the bargaining units of talking to them, correct? Because that's coming due, is that July? June? It's our calendar
July
year.
1st, so.
July 1st. So anyways, yeah, I guess worst case, if we need to change it, we can ride the storm out until the 1st, which you'd probably recommend, of January.
You could. I mean, it's a good time to do it. It's really easy for members to understand because right now, if we raise it in the middle of the year,
somebody could be caught in the middle.
It, and now all of a sudden they've got deductible to satisfy again. It's just cleaner to do it January 1st, but we
makes
can do
sense.
It whenever it works for the county, obviously.
Okay. Any questions for Amy or Raph? I call it rap, I'm sorry. I just want to
call it. I already called worse. That's okay. My wife calls
it. I say it every year. I miss your dad.
As do I. As do I.
Any questions? Otherwise, if it looks good, or I think it's a decent renewal.
Yeah, very. There are other entities, yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes.
And thank you for all your hard work that you do on it.
Yeah.
Amy
You're
and
welcome.
Raph, whatever you do, collect your check. So, anyways, I guess we just need an approval, a motion to approve the health care plan for last year for the stop loss renewal, contract renewal.
So moved.
Okay, we got a motion by Bill to approve.
Second.
The Three Rivers Benefit Inc.
Second.
And a second by Tony. Can we call roll, please, Joan?
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having you.
Hey, I thought you guys, you know, last year we put in the colonoscopy benefit.
Yes. Yeah. What about
that? It cost you $970.48.
Bill was wanting me to ask a friend of mine, I didn't mean to say Bill, about the Cialis. Can we add that to the... Can we add that to the
you guys are self-funded. You can add anything you want.
Leave it at that.
Bill was wanting me to ask. I'm sorry, Bill.
You said you wouldn't mention names.
I know, I didn't mean to. I meant to say a friend, but then Bill came out.
I'm not that old.
Never hurts to help, Bill. Never hurts to help.
Got to take a beat here.
Okay, we're gonna have a public hearing for the purpose of the highway superintendent to present the 1 and 6 year plan to the board for the purpose of giving the citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, and make neutral comments regarding the plan. So obviously at 3:05 we could start this. It's whatever time it is, 4:44, but we're gonna open up a hearing right now. So Fred, do you want to present it, and then we'll.
Yeah, the 1 and 6 is a plan given to the Department of Roads every year, mandatory. We have two projects on this year. One is to replace a bridge on 210th Street, known as the Rosie Kruger Bridge, still from FEMA disaster 2 years ago. It looks like anything left there is a little bit of right-of-way, and this will be let. And the project will be at least finished this year. The other project is Grade and Gravel Perry Avenue. That's just a project coming leading up to Highway 35. Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 projects in 2008. Asphalt overlay on Lake Avenue and overlay on Tompkins Drive. Reconstruct K Avenue from Fiddler Creek Road North, replace a drainage system with corrugated pipe on Hall Avenue, drainage system with pipe on Hall Avenue a little bit north of the other one, color sharing, and that is an NRD project that is on 215th Street. Pave M Avenue, South Highway 35, which already discussed. Pave South Bluff, South of Highway 35, and South Bluff, north of Homer City Limits. There is also a bridge on East Sarpy that's on 2019. That is a bridge that we just added this year, right at 300,000. 2019 also has an overlay on Fiddler Creek, to city limits. That's just an overlay of existing. This is just a guideline, the 1 and 6. Anything can be added or moved up. Nothing's written in stone. It's just to give the state of Nebraska a guide what the county is looking at for projects.
Okay.
But,
all right. Thank you for
anything can be added or moved or taken off the list.
Okay.
The first one, being new to this, not knowing the history of it, the 350, is that total cost of the project, or that's what's remaining to finish that project?
Oh, that's the cost of the project.
Okay. Nothing's been done to
start that project. You're just getting the right-of-way stuff
taken
care of. Yep.
Okay. Right. Right-of-way is the only thing left. Everything. Yep. There's even some FEMA money that we bonded left to pay for the project, so all the funds are in place.
Okay, thank you, Fred.
Yes.
Okay, so with that said, with this public hearing being open, I want, on the 1 in 6, I'd like the opportunity to offer anybody that has support for the 1 in 6 that Fred just read off. If there is none, if anybody have any opposition with the 1 in 6, go ahead. You want to stand up and state your name and address for the record?
I'm Scott Munson from Homer, Nebraska. I'm not opposed to any of the things we've added to the 1 and 6, but when you go back, this goes back to, Bill probably helped me, when was it, in the 80s, 90s, we started out, Fiddler Creek was to get paved, and So we got in on a 1 and 6 year program back in, I think it was 8 or 9 or somewhere in there. So yeah, we kind of agreed to doing a mile on Fiddler Creek Road because that's been the worst mile going out of town for, you know, the road basically itself. We started out, Steve Harris kind of did the first 3/10 of a mile, which is actually just, I think it's 2.7/10 or something to be exact. And we got the first, so 3/10 of a mile, and then we did another 3/10 of a mile, which now got us up to a 1/2 mile on Fiddler Creek Road. But when you, what we started out with was we're going to do a mile, and we're going to do a 1/2 mile and then do another 1/2 mile. So basically what I'm seeing is we're not getting even the mile. Well, the whole Fiddler Creek was supposed to have been done years ago, and it's a we've done studies on the road. There's 300 plus vehicles going up and down that road today. We get all the grain traffic. We get all the trucks, all the UPS, all the FedEx. When they set up the DOT over here on the highway, they take the back road across. I'm home every day because I'm retired, so I see all the traffic because, you know, and we got all the traffic. You can't keep rock on the road, which I'm sure where everybody knows you can haul out all the red rock you want. Blade it, you know, Matt's out there blading it about every other day. You can't keep rock on it because you have so much traffic. And the worst is the first mile. And so I'm not opposed to any, you know, like I said, I think it's great if we can pay it.
You just want to know where you stand at.
Where do we stand at getting this other 1/2 mile? And I don't see us even on the, we're not on the sheet. We're basically taking off.
Well, first, and you know, that filler really got done started because of Steve Harris.
Right, and I understand.
Steve stood for most of that cost on that project. We paid for the concrete. Mm-hmm. And that's why it started there. And I think the thoughts were all the time as we go each way from this, try to get these little towns covered, go each direction, you know, north, south. We get the west, we're going to go north, east by Pronto, mm-hmm. eventually go south. South's kind of done. We have the blacktop there. Tim Harris that way. Someday just work around and then keep going that route. Do so much every year if we can, if it's possible financially. But yeah, your project got put ahead, and you guys need to thank Steve Harris every time you see him.
Well, and I
he got a head start. He got a half mile that probably.
And I do, but I mean, we're going back in history here. You know, back in the 80s, 90s, this road was supposed to have been done years ago.
I know it was called the federal aid road.
It's the busiest road in the county, and we know that. We did the studies on it, Bill.
We you know, it's called the federal aid road, and also the road north of Homer qualifies as federal aid road. And I know they all have a lot of traffic. You know, when that bridge is out in Homer, when they replace that, you can't believe, well, you know what kind of traffic goes by there. One that, you know, will happen again someday. Mm-hmm. That's the only way into Homer.
But still relating back to, I want to know where we're going with this, what direction we're going here. Or are we going to be just, you know, are we... Lauren's here to speak. I'm just speaking for the people on the road.
I think the thoughts were at the time was probably go, like I say, each direction and work around the Fiddler Creek again someday. It'll probably be
but we still virtually talk of doing the first mile. And I mean, that's what. Like I said,
well, everything's kind of a plan.
And I know it's a plan.
Nothing but so.
The worst part of the road is that mile.
I think the worst part's done.
Well, we did get very work on that first part of the road.
Yeah.
Up over the hill and then the curve.
Yeah, that's
but we still got that where it goes through in front of Glenn Nelson's, the big house there, and down through there. And they took some of the trees out going up that hill, which did help.
I think that next 1/2 mile, though, you're talking there's a major drainage project that need to be done also with the paving there.
And Lauren wanted to mention
yeah, that's going to be a tremendous cost
to the Florida. When you say it's the busiest road in the was there a traffic study that indicated that?
We did.
I don't know when it's been taken, but it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. I think Randy Crumby was.
Yeah. And it's mostly a semi traffic that we're complaining about. Now, if we could put a tonnage on that road and then make everybody go a different route, because we get, like you said, the grain trucks, we get all the traffic when they put a DOT up here at the corner. Boy, do I know it, because I get, you can hardly get out on our road because we got so much semi traffic. And My road in 1990, when I moved to Fiddler, my road was 2 feet above my lane. It was 2 feet below my lane. And that bridge that's right at my lane, I've had two cars go off of it because it's supposed to be 10 feet wide. Now it's less than 8 because it's caving in on both sides because the road had gone down so far. And that's a concrete culvert. And like you said, we get the UPS, we get constant traffic on that road. And if you want, I could set up a deal to count the cars again. But we've got to have something done. And they promised to get us another half mile last year, and then all of a sudden that disappeared. So now this year we're expecting at least a half mile, if not more. And if we need to get a petition together, because everybody that can make it to Fiddler Road can make it to town. And our road is the main road for everybody, all the tributary roads that feed onto that road.
And I got a question for you, but don't take this wrong. Would the next half mile go to your driveway?
No.
No, it would not?
Not even close.
Okay.
I'm 3 miles...
To the west.
To the west.
Okay. And I guess when we started this project, that's the first thing we said, where do you stop and start at? Because, you know, if you stop 100 feet in front of, you know, someone else's driveway, you know, it's like they're going to be pissed, you know, because they wanted to be to their driveway, and it's not to their driveway.
Steve Harris paved up to the top of that hill, mm-hmm. and then stopped, and then the year before last, they paved down.
Yep.
Well, stopping at the top of a peak of a hill was kind of stupid because you had a highway that went like this. So they had to come in and knurl the top of the highway off so that it was actually rounded. Everybody was going over that hill. So there needs to be a little better planning.
Didn't they go all the way up over Bill, I thought? I thought he just didn't stop at the top.
No, he first year he stopped about the top.
At the top he did?
And he wasn't going to go that far. We talked him into going to the top.
Yeah.
And he did. He furnished, I mean,
right.
We know him so much.
And that's fine.
You got a half mile more than anybody else.
Boy, what's that?
Well, we'll keep it updated. And who's to say?
Petitions.
Well, I don't think a petition is going to make any difference.
We could all get petitions.
But we were promised to go. Our road was going to get a half mile last year, and then yet they paved north of Homer instead. We were all surprised because we were promised. And everybody here that says they want highway going to the lake paved, I'll tell you guys, if you're going to listen to them, you may not get it.
Well, I don't know who promised you a half a mile.
We were on that 1-6.
Which, just like Fred said, the 1-6 is just a projection.
They kept saying, okay, you get another mile next year. Then next year would come and we wouldn't get it. You get another half mile, we wouldn't get it. We've been waiting for 29 years. So that's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay, I'm going to move on to any neutral comments on the 1-6. On the public hearing. If there is no neutral, I'm going to close the public hearing. And we're going to move on to D. Fred Kellogg, the Highway Superintendent, requesting the board to pass and approve Resolution 17C-002 adopting the 1-6 year road plan.
How can you limit 3 years on? Are we halfway through it? There's projects for the next 3 years.
They must, Fred, if you don't
there's projects for the next 3 years on the 1-6 year plan. I was wondering, is there years 4, 5, 6? Is there any projects
there
on the docket?
None left.
Okay.
If you want to move any of these back or up,
mm-hmm.
that's the, no. You see, there's a lot for next year.
Just curious.
And I doubt if all those will get moved up to the next year.
Okay.
It usually comes down to funding.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing. Hey, famous last words from Billy B. Ain't nothing money can't take care of. Okay. So, anyways, listen. I need a motion to approve 17C-002, and let's get on to Shirley Sides. I'm excited about listening to Shirley here. So, do you have a motion to accept?
I would move to approve Resolution 17C-002, adopting the 1-6 year.
Okay. I got a motion for Billy from Bill for the 17C-002 for adopting the 1-6 plan. And
I'd second it.
Okay, I got a second by Marty. Can you call the roll, please, Joan?
Marty? Marty?
Yep.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, Shirley Sides, you're up.
Okay.
Nebraska 150th celebration.
Yeah.
History lesson.
Appointed historian for Dakota County for the 150th year. And you're going to have a quiz. I'm going to try to run through this real fast. But Dakota City, and I'm sure you know that 1867 was statehood, but do you know who you are? You beat them. Dakota County was made the county seat in 1855.
Really?
Dakota City donated $5,000 to build a courthouse here. And in 1869, and you beat statehood. You had offices, you had law offices across the street, and a brick structure was built here at the cost of $15,000, with Dakota City donating $5,000 for the yellow clay bricks, and Augustus Hass built that courthouse. Well, what happened in South Sioux City, it was growing so fast, and Dakota City was older, and Covington, you know, was real notorious, and Mones and Hunt were big developers, big money up there, and they offered, built a courthouse on Dakota Avenue at the cost of $13,600 on Dakota Avenue in the vicinity of what is the Catholic Church and the school. In the fall of 1891, they pushed to have a special election, what was called, for the purpose of letting Dakota County decide on moving the county seat. It was the hottest and most bitterly contested election ever held in Dakota County. And South Sioux won the vote to move the courthouse 4-1. More money, it was said, was spent that day than had been spent on the $13,600 building. Saloons opened in Jackson and Hubbard, and from daylight till midnight, free alcohol for everyone that came in and said they had voted to move the courthouse.
Wow.
Hardly had a vote been counted than Mel Smead and Atlee Hart and MOers, and they were bankers here in Dakota City. They filed a remonstrance action, and I did check with the judge on the proper name of that, charging gross irregularities and fraud in that election. And it was taken to the district court in Dakota City. Charges were saying that the courthouse was a bribe. So the district judge went through the votes. If we talk about elections now, 150 were fraud, 200 bribery, 201 illegally, 31 signed more than once, 35 signed for both, for Dakota City and South Sioux. 262 voted from Sioux City. The district held the election that it was illegal on charges of fraud and gross irregularities, and the decision was then moved to the Supreme Court March 16, 1892. Now, what happened at the Supreme Court, of course, Dakota City retained the courthouse. But that building in South Sioux sat for 20 years empty on Dakota Avenue. Then it was purchased by, as you go to down Hamilton, the brewery that used to be over, as you go down Hamilton, Four Brewery. And the brewery spent 2 years installing all the equipment in this 13,600 that had been empty because, see, they had promised to put the courtrooms, you know, in the original building of that. So that was just a shell. And then guess what happened? If you think of your history, Prohibition was. Nebraska voted in Prohibition. Yeah.
Where she was here.
And so the brewery, it took them a year to get their stuff out of there, and I could never find out if they gave or the Catholic Church bought from the building, and it became part of the school system of St. Michael's.
Okay.
So, but I'm still going to give you a quiz. This fabulous guy, I know him, David Hendy. He's from the Omaha World Herald, and he's just published for $29.95, the best bargain you could ever buy. And it's two pages for every county in the state of Nebraska. Douglas County is only getting as many as you are.
Really?
Good. And so, yes. And so, and it's beautifully. The history is done. He's fabulous. I even have met him. He went to school with my niece and grew up at Sidney, Nebraska. But what this smart guy did, what did Shirley want? Really, really bad. What was I furious at? When you gave the county identity away. And by golly, he starts with the county number and the county identity. But I want at Friday, the South Sioux JCs or Chamber met at our library in Dakota City here. And several of them come up and asked me, how did we get the number? Does anyone here know?
It was the number of registered vehicles in the county.
You got it. So how are we 70 and we've got 35 county in some of those little counties? How did that happen?
How did it happen?
More cars, apparently.
Well, but why?
They were registered.
Right, it was registered cars. But why on earth would they have more registered cars than
I don't know. That's a good doubt.
Okay. We had a streetcar and a train. We had public transportation. The streetcar went down the street, went up to the school, turned around, and went back. Do you know Joe Cramper?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know how Joe went to school? The train.
Really?
He hopped the train and went to Dakota City to school, and Joe told me that himself.
And he lived south
on the railroad. Yes, the Cramper lands, yes.
Wow.
South of there.
So we didn't need cars.
Well, that had to be the reason. When we are 70,
yeah.
And but he has done, I'm not kidding, he has taken the history, and you'll have to see, he has said good things about you. No, I'm kidding. No, he has taken each of the counties, identified where they are, gave them and gave the history that is just fabulous. But he has just given two, and of course Douglas County now. But he even put what is it? Lancaster gave up theirs. The two big is that the two counties I think that gave it up because Douglas. But
Douglas and Lancaster.
Is it? Yeah, Douglas. And so he has given. Douglas, even though they have given it up, he's put it in here what it was, that it was one because of, but a lot of people used to think it was population. It was not population at all. It was registered vehicles.
Omaha was one, Lincoln was two.
The address is three. What is that, Gage County?
Trying to think.
Which way did you vote back in the day? Did you vote for or against it?
It was Lance Hedge was there then.
Oh, you mean when I protested on the license plate, losing it?
No. Back about the courthouse, which where it needs to be at.
Oh, where?
I'm just kidding, Shirley. You know I am.
Too.
I know you look great, and your mind's great, too, for your age.
But I throw this in, too, so that you know, a new white cement courthouse was built in 1940 for $66,000 with WPA. It was WPA labor, so the cost was actual. And a new jail was added later. Now you will know if someone comes along and asks you, and then you will call the Omaha World Herald.
That's a good
thank you.
Get a piece of paper.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thanks, Shirley.
Oh, and this—you got to give this Jason Sturick. He bought the South Sioux Star. He's working like heck to put history, and I've given him a ton of stuff. He's going to start putting the history stories, and then at the end of the year, you can put them together. He's going to put them in the Dakota County Star.
On a weekly basis?
Yes. Weekly basis of the stories like I'm telling you now. Some of them, and I thought I better tell you this one because you guys wouldn't know that it was all that alcohol changed hands on one day in the Dakota County.
Thanks for coming, Shirley.
Thanks, Shirley.
We appreciate it. Okay, miscellaneous. We're going to move on to Fred Kellogg, the Highway Superintendent, for the road report.
January 29th to February 11th, 137 hours of road maintenance, hour and a half overtime, tree and debris removal, 161 hours, salt and sanding, 30 tons, snow removal, 136 and a half hours, aggregate, 2,000 tons, barricades and signs, 40 hours. Road concerns, 200 in South Bluff, East Sarpy, Knox Boulevard, and Hole Avenue. Had a road call on gravel, 220th Street.
Okay. Nothing too much out of the ordinary. Any questions for Fred?
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Fred. Okay, B, Sheriff Kleinberg, Joe report. Hey, we'll get the public comment.
Can I get the report on East Sarpy again, please?
On East Sarpy?
Yes.
Grading?
No, your report on East Sarpy there.
Yeah, I had a group call in on East Sarpy for grading.
Yeah. Was it graded?
Yeah.
I guess.
What do you think about the bridge?
We were graded to the bridge. That's about it.
Okay. We had a train derailment out there.
I know. I live out there.
Anyway, that's we had some calls in on that, and we went out and graded in some where there were dual tracks and stuff, and a person called.
Right. Yeah. Now, have you ever inspected our bridge lately?
Yes.
When?
It's been about a month ago, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Mr. Mellick told me the other day, he went across the bridge, one of the panels has slid
over. And he called me also again.
Yeah, and it slid over again.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
And he has called me about it, and it is on our to-do list.
Yeah.
We had a snow event last week, but it is.
Okay, thank you.
I went over and took a look at it myself, Brad. It's right on the side.
Over
right
about 6 inches today.
It's pretty bad.
Okay.
Something needs to be done.
Go ahead, Sheriff. Joe, report, if you would, please.
We're averaging about 110 in the jail.
Do I have that?
Yeah. So far, fiscal year, we brought in $17,000 from the Fed, $17,266. Got 0.06 juveniles for the fiscal year. That's kind of scary where the comes from. But, so we're still under budget, though. We've done all right, about 2.5% for the first month here. We're averaging in January $54.18 per inmate. So that's down from last year. We were in the 70s. Of course, bookings 47 for the sheriff's office and 31 for the city. But we're still below budget. We're right at or just below for last month, so we're doing good. 14th, 2-3 days, we get our new medical care. So really looking forward to that. But
okay. Any questions for Sheriff on the Joe report? If not, we're going to move on to C, the Sheriff Kleinberg requesting the board address and administration rights to the county's computer server.
And we discussed that earlier. Mm-hmm. That's basically all I was asking for, the ability to go in and set up our own emails.
Nexus, they're here now. Do they want to shed some light on this conversation? I'm assuming that's why you're here. Just didn't stop by just to say hey or anything.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
We check in very often. So yeah, we're certainly Bob Prince with Nexus. We're certainly open to doing that. What we generally find is, we have tools that can allow that to happen. We have to maintain a certain amount of control, especially now that you know, basically all the county resources, plus now with the LEC and the jail stuff is merging together too, to, you know, all that. So it's important that we maintain some kind of control over that. But what I think what you're talking about is really the basics, like having somebody's ability to create a new user or modify a user. We use a tool. We can set up some tools to allow somebody to do that. We certainly don't have a problem to do it. Our general finding is we don't do it until people really want to do it, because people just don't remember what to do, and so it's just easier to call and get it done. But we'll work with Joan, too, and the sheriff and what other department. We'll probably create like a Dakota admin account that gives them enough administrative rights to do the basic daily stuff that somebody needs to do. They may have to log on to a PC to add a driver or do something like that. And we're certainly not against doing it. We just have to maintain a certain amount of control in doing it. So I think that's what you need, really, right?
Yep. For the most part, yeah.
Okay. Well, if you want too much, then we'll see. But we're usually pretty easy to get along. Again, it's just important to maintain a certain amount of centralized control, so things just don't go awry and that type of thing.
Okay. Easy enough.
Yep.
Going to Sheriff Joan, you can... So do we need to take action on this? Requesting the board's address, the administration rights. Do we need to take action? No?
Excellent.
Okay, easy enough, Bob. Thanks. Okay, D, planning and zoning membership appointments. One appointment to each of the following geographical areas. They got rural Emerson, and you got rural Willis, and the village of Hubbard, a three-year term, February 2017 to February 2020. Go ahead, Tony. Well, no, I think what's happening is, since we have appointed Joe O'Neill as administrator, is you have...
That's the next one?
Okay, so go ahead. You met with these people, Dave.
We met this morning, the group of three of us, and reviewed the application for the rural Willis, and there were still applicants that qualified for the area. And the two persons that I contacted who came and reviewed the applications, they go with Paul Ireland, which is the guy that used to run that restaurant as well, because he lives close to the place. He lives on 1517 Oakdale, Jackson. And the other applicant was Tim Decker, which is a deputy who lives quite a ways up north on 1355 Norway Road. So we decided, the three of us decided to give it to Paul Arman. So he's going to continue on the board. And so we take into consideration that he missed only 1 minute at the time he's been at board. So that's going to be the next guy. With that, we appoint Joe O'Neill for...
Who's rural Emerson?
Who's rural Emerson?
Rural Emerson. Marty Rody. Yeah. And who else did...
Billy Jeb.
Hubbard. Marlon Miller.
No.
Yeah, I missed that one, so thank you.
Jeannie Grove. Marlon Miller is rural.
Rural Hubbard, rural Jackson.
The village of Hubbard. Scott Googles did not.
He's not. No, he's
right.
Not one.
So who did you have apply for village of Hubbard? It was Jean Grove.
Jean Grove. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
Jean who?
Grove. So there's the three positions that's been filled up. And I don't think we need to have a motion for that.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to. So
yours just a recommendation.
Okay, that's what we recommended, the three of us this morning, so we need a motion to accept.
Okay, so we need a motion. So I'll make a motion to accept your recommendation for the people for the geographical areas. Is that enough?
Yeah, who seconded it? I second.
Okay. I have one question.
Yes.
Is Paul Ireland going to replace Will O'Neill, or is Timmy?
No. That's coming.
Okay.
That's coming.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had that wrong.
So. Can we call Joan, please? Get a motion by myself. on the appointment people for?
For Rural Emerson, Martin Rohde, Bill, Paul Ireland, and Village of Hubbard, King Crow.
Okay, right.
Bill Rohde?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to E, as planning and zoning membership appointment to fill the term of Joe O'Neill for the Village of Jackson for the period ending February of 2019. Tony, I'm assuming that's you got Ronnie Gill?
I've been in touch with Ron Gill, and he's going to serve that finish the term that Joe O'Neill left vacancy since he became the planning and zoning administrator. So I would like to make a motion to appoint Ron Gill for finish the term.
So to fill Joe's, since he's the administrator now, we're going to do Ron Gill for the Village of Jackson.
Second, my motion.
Okay, we got a motion by Tony and a second by Bill. We call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. I think that's it for that page. Commissioner committee reports. I know, Tony, you just talked about you guys met today with your was there anything I'm missing, John, that we should be talking about? I don't think so. I think last week we did all that, didn't we?
So there are none.
None. Mail emergency business. I don't think we have any of that either, do we, John? Public comment. Anybody from the public would like to stand up? Go ahead, just stand at the podium before you state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Todd McDonald. I live north of Jackson on the river. My complaint is with the roads, several places.
Roads like which one, Todd, you're talking?
From the school all the way to the end.
So you're talking L all the way out to the river?
Yep. There's been rock put down, but the material that they're using has got, it's like half fines, half rock, turns to mud whenever any type of water is present. Several areas don't have any crowns in them. The blade was just out there today and he was just flat.
Who's doing that area, Fred? Is that Lance?
No, Scott Jorgensen. Arnie used to do that area and now Scott Jorgensen does.
You know, Todd, that first, just north of Jackson, where it's so wide and flat with no ground, that road was built by a private contractor in the 70s. It was built too wide, and I don't, you know, how you'd ever get a crown in a road that wide without building the whole thing.
Well, are you talking from the school? The pavement on up to maybe the curb?
Like
or
the Peterson's down there.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Road is so wide, and Pettit built that back in the day, I think 70s probably.
Well, and that even got raised. They built that up in like 89.
But for to get a crown on that road,
that's part of the problem is it just keeps holding moisture there.
Yeah.
And with it's the just fines, even after the rock got put in last week, somebody got too close to the edge and got sucked down in the ditch over the weekend.
Just a question. Do you notice the difference from Arnie being gone
Big difference.
Okay. Because obviously I never heard from you. How long have you lived out there in Nottoway?
The first time I moved out there was in 89 or 90, and there was 5 years that I didn't live up there, and I've lived there basically from 89 till now, minus 5 years.
Because really, I mean, and not saying that there's not an issue out there, and I know I tried calling you back because I wanted Fred and you and myself to go out there, and for the record, when somebody has a road complaint, unless there's any type of decisions to be made, I just have everybody just come to public comment. That's kind of my formality is all it is. So don't, it's nothing personal. I know you wanted on the agenda, but during public comment, you get the same exact, you know, publicity if you're a public comment or if you're on the agenda. So I just wanted to clarify that. But I was hoping what I wanted to do is I wanted you and Fred, and I don't know if you got my message or not, via telephone. I left you a telephone message, but I wanted you and Fred and I to go out, and I wanted you to point out the spots that what you think or what you need to be repaired, and we can look over it together is what I wanted to do.
Because even up past my place, which there's still probably 12 people live up there year-round, where the road gets really narrow.
Up along the river?
Yeah, there is water still standing across the whole entire road. The field is up here, the road's down here, and then on the other side, the ditch goes up and then goes down. Never has any place to go. Clear at the end of the road, there's springs feeding down the hill.
Yep.
And that's icing up and going across the road and into somebody's yard. It doesn't ever get any sunlight to thaw it out. It just keeps building up ice and building up ice. That campground that went in up by us, there wasn't any of it that wanted it. There's more campsites in that campground than there's people that live on that road. So our road traffic more than doubled from them.
The weekend warriors.
Yeah. And they haul ass on that road.
Yeah.
So I know they're tearing the road up. So for what they used to blade the road, their normal times, it's gotten way worse and needs to be done more. But our... That last 3 miles of road doesn't hardly ever get bladed. They blade up the old schoolhouse. Sometimes they keep going down the minimum maintenance road towards the river that got graveled. That gets done about every week, but our maybe once a month, once every 2 months.
Is there a regular route that they do, or, you know?
Each operator has about 60 to 70 miles in that area.
But when they do a certain area, sometimes it's hit, and then maybe every other time some of it.
I will not say that they go to the river every time. Of course, there's more traffic on the first 5 miles of any road off any pavement than there is. So sometimes that catches it before. Say all the way to Nottoway would.
That's the opposite. We have more people live up there than there is to the old schoolhouse. There's only like 8 houses to that old schoolhouse.
But you have to say the bulk of your truck traffic, like Olson,
Peterson Hall,
Crane, and stuff. 5 miles. I'm not saying you're right. I'm just saying usually truck traffic.
What's that?
But with the road conditions getting bad and the weekend warriors in the summertime blasting up there,
I don't think so.
Ready to get to their campsite, it makes it dangerous for us. If they can't keep a without bouncing on the washboards.
Well, let's do this here, unless anybody else has a different suggestion, but. And I have, and I used, they used to be my stomping grounds. Obviously, my family, my dad's family lived out there. I mean, he went to that white school, matter of fact, in the 30s to school. And I have not been out there for some time, but I'd like to get you and Fred and I to get together, Todd, and go out there and look and see what your issues are. And I'm not saying there's not issues. I mean, obviously, with the weather, and I know you know gravel, you know dirt, a dirt guy, I get all that. But we can do so much, and we want to do the best that we can, you know, for the people on the road is what we want to do. So I would like for us all to get together, the three of us, whatever works in your schedule.
I'm fine with anything.
And we can go for a ride and look at things. I think that'd be a smart idea, if you're okay with that.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, I just want to verify. I don't have my phone here, but give me your number again, would you?
712-899-4357.
And is normally like evening time or late afternoons? I mean, your work schedule?
I'm off for the winter right now. So.
Oh, are you? Okay, so we can just contact you sometime yet this week and we can make a trip up there.
Yeah, if it rains, that'd be a really good day to come up.
Well, we ain't going to get no rain this week, so it's going to be. The frost's going to be coming out. You'll probably be getting some boils probably, I would think.
Yeah, they're already there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, listen, we'll get a hold of you, Todd, and we'll see if we can address some issues. Okay?
Don't hesitate to call me anytime. I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Any other public comment from anyone? If not, if there's no other public comment, we are going to adjourn and...
Wait a minute.
Oh.
Yeah, my name is Jim Cleveland. I live on East Rocky Road.
Watch out.
And our roads are terrible. I mean, they're about like Todd was saying.
They're just, especially since the derailment out there, the truck's been out there. I've heard through the grapevine the outfit that's, I don't know, doing the construction there, or railroad, somebody is supposed to be rebuilding the road.
They paid for it last time, didn't they, Fred?
The railroad paid for some of it last time.
They did last
But this is not the railroad, though.
This is a private contract.
This is a trucking
contractor
company.
That's doing the work out there then?
Pardon?
It's a contractor that's doing the work out there?
Yes. It's doing the bridge and doing also picking up the train.
But still, we need more maintenance on the road. There's been gravel dumped from Highway 20 to East Sarpy Road there on Oakdale, and as far as I can remember, two spots. And there's probably four or five more that need gravel and maintained. Just two East Sarpy Road. The intersection on East Sarpy Road and Oakdale is terrible. It needs gravel, it needs maintenance. And even clerk to the bridge on East Arthur, it needs maintenance and gravel.
Tony, you've been out there?
I've been out there today. Matter of fact, that's terrible. At least, if you guys have a minute or so, you know, go on and take a look at that. You know,
and you know, Mr. Cleveland, I do not doubt that it needs some attention. And we know, and that Mother Nature can be either good to us. And you know this.
Oh, yeah.
Or she can be very bad to us. And this winter, she's been very bad.
Yep.
And our gravel budget, and it doesn't matter. If we need to put gravel down, we're going to put gravel down. But I'm just giving you just an example. Our $500,000 gravel budget is gone already. And we still have 5 months left.
Is the maintenance budget gone yet, too, or not?
No, the maintenance budget is not gone.
Well, I'd like to see a grader out there.
Okay. I'll get with Fred again once they get with Todd, and when we make the run with Todd, Fred and I will make sure we make the run out there.
I'm home most of the time.
Well, maybe.
Except when my lane dries up, I'm going to Tucson for a couple of months.
Maybe that contractor that's working out there in the railroad, maybe he'd help us out some if we got a hold of him. I know they've tore it up bad. I did get a call last week, though, from Mike Mitchell, and Mike said that Lance, our new operator out there, is doing a great job.
Well...
Did you know the contractors, Fred?
Yes. It doesn't seem like they're getting, even when it snows, they don't get down even to the gravel. And then the traffic goes over the snow that's left there, and then when it starts getting warmer, it melts, and then you got a mess again.
I don't know who's doing.
So we're not getting all the snow off the road like it should be.
That always helps if you get the snow off the road before.
Yes, yeah.
Otherwise it melts and
then
it
gravel goes.
I get it.
Yeah. And potholes, there's potholes clear from Highway 20 to the intersection there at East Sarpy Road and rumble bars.
Okay. Hopefully we can get that improved this week. It's going to be a great week to blade. It's supposed to be 50s, 60s all week. So, yeah. Like I said, Fred and I will make a run out there. And if we don't see you, I think I know where you live out there, up by Arnie.
Yeah. I live on the north side of the road. I got about a quarter mile lane there.
Yep, to the north, right?
Right.
Yep, okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Any other public comment?
My name's Kenny Gutens. I live on 2474 M Avenue. And I guess I just want to make a comment. I share the concern of kind of everybody that talked about M Avenue and Fiddler Creek. I live just south of Fiddler Creek on M Avenue, so I pick my poison.
Yep.
I don't know how much way I'm driving, but... I was questioning not so much the service of the road. I think you guys do a great job. You dump a lot of gravel on there and try your best, but I don't think you're ever going to win. I'm a construction engineer by trade. I was just wondering if anybody's ever done any soil sampling out there to improve the means and methods, ever looked at lime stabilization of that road or anything like that, rather than just dumping gravel on it. I mean, it's not part of what you're paying per ton for gravel, but that might not be that much different.
$13.75 a ton is what we're paying for aggregate right now.
Okay. I build roads all over the United States.
So lime, you're talking about what? You're talking about
like a crushed lime to actually put down to change.
Like crushed concrete or a.
I wouldn't do crushed concrete. I'd do like a lime stabilization. I mean, I'd have a soil engineer look into it. That's how I'd start.
What's the pros and cons to that? Because there has to be some cons.
Lime's more expensive.
Besides cost, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it changes the characteristics of your soil. you know, you're gonna beat that road, that aggregate in that road forever. It's probably just like what everybody's seeing throughout the whole county, probably. It's all it's a really fat clay, silty clay. You know, you're never gonna win unless you do something like a geogrid fabric or change the properties of the ground. And I just think as much gravel you dump on that road, I mean, you guys dump a ton on there. It's got to cost a small fortune to service.
What does Leonard Gill have going up to the landfill? Does he have the stuff that? Does he have that type of that, or does he have that Tiger stuff?
Yeah, he has the stuff from Newcastle.
He has the stuff from Newcastle. So that's just obviously that's our clay, that's the rock, and everything kind of bound together. Is that the same type of material that this gentleman's talking about, or something different?
He's talking more limestone from Fort Calhoun.
Oh, Fort Calhoun that area.
Go ahead. So crushed down. When you say crushed, what diameter?
Probably half inch minus.
Half inch and with fines.
You wouldn't think the big stuff. I mean, you know, really the big stuff doesn't work in soil like that. I mean, I'm not a soil engineer. Mm-hmm. I deal with a lot of times to build roads like so in the United States. But that was just, I mean, maybe something maybe to look at. I mean, I'm never dreaming of that road ever being paved for me. I'm not worried about it, but just to not have it completely turn into a minimum maintenance road sometimes, which it does. Would be nice. I think it'd be a cost-effective solution. A
lot of traffic on that road as well.
There's a lot.
A lot of traffic.
We do road stabilizations with fly ash, too.
Yeah, that's another option.
Probably something we need to look at.
Mm. All
right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, last call. Any other public comment? Okay, if none, we are going to adjourn, and then we are going to re-meet. The commissioners will meet on February 20th, 2017 at the 14th Annual Joint City-County School Meeting at 5:30 p.m. at the South Sioux City High School, 3301 G Street. And then after that, our next regular meeting here in the boardroom will be on the 27th of February, 2017 at 3 o'clock.
You're sounding better. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you.
You sound better. You feel better?
No. Headache. I'm ready to go. Thank you, everyone.